Okay, today's daf is Bava Kama Mem. Okay, in order to get to where we're up to, we're going to have to go back a little bit and review, sort of from the middle of yesterday's page. I'll do a quick summary. We'll do our Refuah Shleimah first for the week. Refuah Shleimah, the David Avram ben Miriam, Dvar Abadina, Avram Shimon ben Chana, Wurde Penina Baruch Afrida Chai, Malk Esther Bat Zipporah, Yelmer Machai, Yaakov ben Rosa, David ben Golda, Michal Yishav, Dvar Bat Kadima, Daphna Chai, Bat Sarah, Tai Rachel, Bat Tamar Sarah, Lulanish Machana, Bat Tatar, Rizal, Bat Sarah, Tzvi Hirsch, Ben Yaakov, Halev, Yumela, Yosef ben Tzvi Akumim. Okay, in the middle of yesterday's daf, first of all, online there's a sheet, since I taught on Shabbat this week, there's a sheet of yesterday's daf that organizes it. Anyone who wants to take a look, you can see. We're going to start from the middle, just in terms of the review, where there was a braita brought. You can look at the chart I made for today. There's a braita quoted that says, Shor Chereshto Teva Katan Shenagach, Rabbi Yaakov Mashalem Chatzi Nezek. Okay, which really means Rabbi Yaakov says you're Mishalem Chatzi Nezek. Okay, we suggested yesterday that maybe possibly the whole issue of yesterday, for those who didn't get to the daf, it's all about the responsibility for a shor who's owned by someone who is not a bar dad, okay, a cheresh shoter katan, and what the level of responsibility they have. Because on the one hand, they don't really assume responsibility for anything. On the other hand, there's a society, and society needs protection from animals that are going to go out and gore people. So there was an issue of having an apitropos come and be responsible. And then the question became, if you have an apitropos who's in charge, a legal guardian who comes in charge of the situation, is the apitropos then responsible? There was a debate. Whose money does it come from? In the end, it was basically shown that it was from the yorshim's, from the Chereshot of a Katan's money, but they would only pay when they got older, or, right, and there was a bit of an issue because they didn't really talk about how the Cheresh or the Shoteh, what happens if they never get better. But that the Apitropos would kind of, certainly when it comes to a Katan, would pay from his own money and the child would pay him back when they got older. So in the context of that, they quoted this other source, and then there was a whole debate about whether when the apitropos is chayav, when he comes in, is he coming in and therefore the child or the shoteva katan has to pay once the apitropos comes in and is in charge, even if it's a short time, or is it only when it becomes a shor muad? And there was a Tanaitic debate about that. So then comes this statement, shor chereish shoteva katan shenagach, Rabbi Yaakov mishalem chatzi nezek, which the Gemara said, what do you mean Rabbi Yaakov pays? They said, no, Rabbi Yaakov says you pay. I wanted to suggest that possibly Rabbi Yaakov is apitropos. And maybe it was meant that he pays the chatzi nezek on their behalf. It's possible explanation, unlikely, but maybe. So anyway, the Gemara went into and said, is it about a tam? And if it's about a tam, so why would he say chatzi nezek? That's pashut, because he could have just said Rabbi Yaakov mechayev. In which case, once you're mechayev, if you're talking about a short tam, it would obviously be chatzi nezek, and you wouldn't have to say chatzi nezek, just like our Mishnah said, you're patur. Should have just said simply, you're chayav. So they reject that. Okay, that's where our Gemara is going to start. We're going to go back to that possibility. Okay? Now, if it's muad, so then either you do shmirah, and then you watch the animal, in which case, even if your animal is a shor muad, if you watch the animal the way you were supposed to, so you're not chayav. And because it says in the pasuk, v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav. In other words, that's when you're chayav if you didn't do shmirah. And if you didn't do Shmirah, then obviously you're chayav full nezek. So either it should be zero or it should be full. It certainly shouldn't be half. So Rava answered that it's talking about a shor muad, okay, you can follow in the chart, where you did a Shmirah pchuta and not a Shmirah meula. Okay, you did a minimal Shmirah. Now there's a machloket about if you do a minimal Shmirah, is that mean you're patur for shor muad, but you'd still be chayav as a short tam? So what does Rava say? He holds that muad is enough for shmirah pchuta, but not for tam. And he holds this concept that shor muad, we saw this once before, that tzad tamut b'mkoma omed. A shor muad is made up of half of a short tam and half of a shor muad. So the part about the muad he doesn't pay because he did a shmirah pchuta. But a shmirah pchuta is not sufficient for a tam, according to this opinion. And therefore, you still have to pay the half of the tam. That's Rav's explanation. Abaye says, no, it's a shor muad that you didn't do any shmirah. If that's the case, what's the situation? So again, we say muad is made up of half tam, half muad. But now we're going to do the opposite. We're going to say it's not the tam part that you're going to pay. You're going to pay the muad part. And why is that? Because he holds by that machloket about a yuma, vidim apitropos, when you have an apitropos for a cheres shorts of a katan, are they there to pay also for tam and also for muad, or just for muad? So he would hold, an apitropos never pays for tam, and therefore the only half he's going to pay is the half for the muad. And that's why, according to Rabbi Yaakov, an apitropos would only pay chatzi nezek, okay, when you have an apitropos there. Okay, so now we have two approaches. Is it the half of the... Right, and as everyone agrees it's muad, it's just, is it the half that's tam or is it the half that's muad? Okay, then we had a koshi on Rava, and we said, just follow along in the chart, this is all review from yesterday, how could you say that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda? Isn't he cholek on Rabbi Yehuda? Because the Braita says, shor shachereisho teva katan shenagach, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, and Rabbi Yaakov omer, chatzi nezek hu d'mishalem. So one answer given to this was, that when it says Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, and Rabbi Yaakov says chatzi nezek, they're not disagreeing. Rabbi Yaakov is explaining, what's the chiyuv that he says? It's chatzi nezek, which makes sense because it doesn't say mechayev and poter or something, although obviously chatzi nezek wouldn't be patur either. So anyway, he says he comes to explain they're not cholek. Soon we're going to see another answer to this. That's why I had to go back to this. Okay, soon we'll see another potential answer, but we'll leave that for now because we're not up to it yet. And then, now we're going to go to another question on Rava. So if you go down to the bottom, three lines from the bottom of Lamed Tet Amud Bet. Amar le Rav Acha bar Abaye le Ravina. Bishlama la Abaye damar pligi. Shapir. According to Abaye, who said, and what did Abaye say? In that brighter we just saw Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov, he was the one who asked the question on Rava. He thought that they're cholek, and therefore he said Rava can't possibly hold by Rabbi, he can't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. And therefore, he thinks they disagree. And therefore, the only case could possibly be a shor muad case. But ela la Rava da Amar lo pligi, according to Rava, who thinks that Rabbi Yaakov is coming to explain Rabbi Yehuda, and he comes and says, yes, when Rabbi Yehuda's mechayev, he's mechayev chatzi nezek, why don't you say, ademoke la v'muad, let's go back to the beginning. What do we say? Nukma bitam. Why don't you say that the case, we could also, in the beginning we said this couldn't possibly be a tam case. Now we're going to say, no, maybe you could say it's a tam case. How so? Ila Rabbi Yehuda da avid le shmira pchuta, lo avid le shmira meula. You could either say, like Rabbi Yehuda, and say that Rabbi Yehuda says that we hold by, we say it's muad, and what does he say? He did a shmira pchuta, he didn't do a shmira meula. Now what did Rabbi Yehuda say about a shmira meula? And a shmira pchuta, he said that if you do a shmira pchuta, not such a great shmira, meaning what's a not such a great shmira? You closed it, the gate, and they can't open in a typical wind. Okay, that's enough of a shmira. But that only works for a shor muad. So why don't you say, we're talking about a case, according to him, if you did a shmira pchuta for a short time, you'd actually be chayav. You'd be patur for muad and Chayav B'tam, do you remember why he says this? That you'd be Pacha for Tam? I'm sorry, you'd be Chayav B'tam? Because the Pasuk, Lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, where we learn it from, only appears by Muad, and it doesn't appear by Tam. You have to remember, what's the whole idea of Tam? Tam, there's two approaches. Either it's just a Knas, in which case you could say, we're going to be Kones you whether or not you did a good Shmira or not. That's your animal gored someone, they now are damaged, you have to pay. Other people say, no, it's actually just, we're going to be Mekel, in other words, you're not supposed to pay the full, so we'll be mekel on the din. You're paying mamam, but we're mekel on it. So you could say, well, since it's a kula din, and you're only paying chatzi nezek, so we're going to make you pay even if you did shmira, okay? Because you should have done a better shmira to prevent any kind of damage. So now, what can Rava say? Rava can say, it's not a muad case, it's a tam case. And the reason why he pays is because he did shmira pchuta, so it wouldn't be chayav muad, but he didn't do shmira meula, and therefore he's chayav as a tam, and he pays chatzi nezek. Or you could also say, Ila Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, delo avad le shmira klal. It could be a case where you didn't do shmira at all, and it goes like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, detanya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov omer, echad tam v'echad muad sheshmaram shmira pchuta, pturin. He says a tam or a muad that you did a shmira pchuta would be patur. Okay, so now, let's say you think, like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, that if you did a shmira pchuta, even a tam is patur, okay? But you could say that here's a case of a tam where there was no shmira at all. And then, what would happen here? That's either according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be chayav for tam if you did a shmirah pchuta, right? That would be one case. Or you could say, like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, okay, where you did no shmirah at all, okay? Both those cases, you'd be chayav chatzin nezek. And then, what's Rabbi Yaakov coming to say? That he sides on the side of the machloket tana'im that you can pay for a short time, meaning ma'abidim apitropos ligvot l'short time migufo, right? Okay? When you put this apitropos up, it could be that that's Rabbi Yaakov's chidush. When he says, you're mechayev chatzin nezek, what's he saying? That you even pay chatzin nezek for a short time. In other words, if you're a chayev short of a katan, you can be chayev to pay damages on a short time. So why didn't the Gemara suggest that before? Why did they say it must be a mu'ad case? Remember, it's the chatzi tam shebemu'ad or the chatzi mu'ad shebetam. Why did they do that? Why didn't they just say that it's a tam case? And what Rabbi Yaakov is coming to say is, ma'amidim la ma'abitropos l'tam l'gvot migufo. So Amar Le, here's the answer. Hachi kamar. Chadidi ipe tarte tama. You could say it's either a mu'ad or it's a tam. And you could explain, in other words, within Rava, Rabbi could explain that that's his chidush, that it's both, it could be a mu'ad, and he's paying the chelik of the short tam and the mu'ad. Or, remember, why is this only work according to Rabbi? Because Rabbi said that we hold like ma'amidim apitropos l'tam l'gvot migufo. So once you say that, why don't you say that it also could apply in a short tam case? Whereas Abaye said, no, Rabbi Yaakov is cholek on Rabbi Yehuda, and when he says you pay chatzin nezek, he was talking about the mu'ad part of the chatzin nezek. But if you say he's talking about the tam part of the chatzin nezek, which is Rava, then why didn't you say it was a tam case to begin with? So in the end, what are they going to say? He could explain it as a tam, and he could explain it as the tam part of the mu'ad. In other words, it could either be a mu'ad case where there was shmirah pchuta and not shmirah me'ula, and he's pachah from the mu'ad, but he's chayav in the tam part, or it's a case of a tam where either, like Rabbi Yehuda, was a shmirah pchuta, in which case the tam would be chayav, or he wasn't shomer at all, and that holds like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, where if he's not shomer at all, so then he's going to be chayav, because he wasn't shomer at all. And therefore, either which way, what's it coming to teach us? That Rabbi Yaakov holds, on this side of the machloket, that when you're ma'amid apitropos, the chereh shoter katam becomes chayav to pay even for a short tam. And that's his chidush. Okay, so that's the answer here. Now, like I said, we're going to go back to this. If you look at that earlier koshi of Rava, where they said, Rabbi Yehuda's b'chayev, Rabbi Yaakov says chatzin nezek, and Abaye had asked him, aren't they cholek, and how could you say that Rabbi Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda? So Rabbi Ba'ula said, Masha chayev, Rabbi Yehuda peresh Rabbi Yaakov. In other words, they weren't arguing. Here comes Ravina, and he gives a different explanation. Ravina Amar, they do argue, but they don't argue about everything. What's the argument about? Rishut mishane ika benayu. Okay, they're talking about their machloket, even though it says it very simply. Shor shachare shokev katan shenagach, Rabbi Yehuda mechayev, Rabbi Yaakov Amar, chatzin nezek hu demashalem. Now we're going to say, no, it's not exactly that. It's that we're going to explain that it was a bit of a different case. Okay, it wasn't as simple a case as it says. It's talking about a case where it changed rishuyot. Okay, kigon. It's a case where dehave mu'ad v'nit pakeach. Dehave mu'ad. It was mu'ad v'nit pakeach hachiresh. And then all of a sudden, the chiresh returned back into a pikeach. He got his hearing back and his speech. V'nishtafa shoter, and the shoter became clear-headed. V'igdil hakatan. Okay, the katan got older. So in this case, what happens? Rabbi Yaakov savar hareu b'chezkato. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda savar hareu b'chezkato. Rabbi Yehuda will hold your mechayev because even though you now, right, in other words, he was a shur muad, but now we're switching reshut. But comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, I don't care that we're switching reshut. He holds like Rabbi Yossi that we saw earlier, that he stays b'chezkato once he was considered a shor mu'ad, he stays a shor mu'ad. And Rabbi Yaakov savar reshut mishaneh. Rabbi Yaakov says no. He plays chatzin nezek because he reverts back to being a shor tam, because the ba'alim themselves were never properly muzhar, right? This goes back to the whole machloket. Is it for the shor's purpose to know is the shor a nagchan or not? In which case it shouldn't matter who the owner is, if it switches ownership, or if the owner himself switches, right, he goes from a non-da'at to a bar-da'at. Or do we say, no, it has to do with the warning, and the person needs to be warned three times, and this person, his warning wasn't considered a warning while he wasn't level-headed or while he was a katan or whatever it was. And now that he's a bardat, only now can we start warning him and start building up until we get to turn the shor into a shor muad. Okay, so that's the machloka between them, in which case, even though it looked very simple that they were talking about a basic case of a shor, of a chereshot of a katan, now they're saying, no, it was a more complicated case, and that's what the argument was all about, reshit mishaneh or not, and it had nothing to do with our issue here. Okay, and therefore he just kind of erases that from the whole picture, that source has nothing to do here. Remember, that source was a biased question of Rebbe's interpretation. He says it's not even a question because that has nothing to do with our case. Okay, new section. Tana Rabbanan, apitropos mishalmim min ha'aliyah, ve'em mishalmim kofer. An apitropos has to pay min ha'aliyah. What's that case? When do you pay min ha'aliyah? If it's a shor muad, right? That means that you pay from your nechasim rather than paying from the goof of the shor itself. So when the apitropos is there, so he obviously has to pay when it's a shor muad. Ve'em mishalmim kofer, but they don't pay the kofer. Remember what the kofer is? Okay, this is going to be a good review, stuff we've seen before about the kofer, and now we're going to get into this basic sugya about what the point of the kofer is. So what's kofer? Kofer is when the shor kills someone, the shor gets killed. If the shor is a shor, okay, you can look in the psukim actually, in the bottom of the page I put it. Shmo per kaf aleph, start from pasuk kaftet. Okay, kafbet is there for a different reason, we'll see it soon. Pasuk kaftet, v'im shor nagachu mitmos shelshom, if it's a shor mu'ad, what happens? V'hu abivalav, and they already testified against its owners. V'lo yishmerenu, here's our pasuk, and the owner doesn't watch it properly. V'heimit ish o isha, and then someone gets killed, a man or a woman. Hashur yisakel v'gam ba'alav yumat, the shor gets skila, and the ba'alim get killed, which we know doesn't really happen, because the next pasuk says, im kofer yushat alav, and atam pidyon nafsho kechol asher yushat alav. Even though the owner should die because he inadvertently caused someone's death, but because he didn't kill with his own hands, it was just his animal who killed, we give him the opportunity to pay his way out of the punishment of death, and he pays a kofer. Kofer means ransom, it's translated, okay? But it's a kofer. Now, what is the purpose of this kofer? So according to this, if the apitropos doesn't pay kofer, what do we learn from here? Mantana kufra kapara v'yat melav kapara ninhu. Who's the Tana who holds, like this source, that basically you would say, why doesn't the apitropos have to pay kofer? The real question is, who's the kofer for? Is it for the ba'alim to have their own kapara for the ma'aseh that they did? Right? Imagine, you cause someone's death, you're going to, right? It's very hard to live with. You want to do some sort of internal repentance. So what are you going to do? You're going to pay, and that payment is going to count as your repentance for your kapara. Now, if you say that, what are you going to say, obviously, when it comes to the yatom? Well, yatomim are not b'nei kapara ninu, because you only need kapara if you did something wrong. If you're a katan and you're not considered that you did anything wrong because you weren't supposed to be responsible, so then obviously there is no need for kapara. Okay? And therefore, what's going to be the opposite? If it's not kapara, what is it? It's for the person who's, you know, the family who lost the dead one, right? We always have this where there's people sue for damages. You know, you killed someone in my family and I want to be paid damages. I want compensation. If you view it as compensation, well, then the apitropos should have to pay the kofer because the family still needs compensation. That was the whole point about why you put an apitropos there. You put a legal guardian to be responsible for damages that are caused. So if the kofer is viewed not as a kapara for the person who did the onesh, but as a way to compensate the family who lost someone, well, then the apitropos should have to pay. So what the Gemara is assuming here is we must be holding kufr kapara, and therefore the yatomim aren't b'nei kapara ninu. Okay, and therefore they want to know, so who holds that opinion? So I'm Rav Chista, who holds that opinion, he says? Rabbi Yishmael ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brokahi. Okay, he's the one who holds this opinion. How do we know? He holds the kufr is kapara. Detanya v'natan pidyon nafsho. How do we darshan that pasuk? That was the one we just read, right? When you give the kofer, it's natan pidyon nafsho. Demei nizak. Tanakama says, how do we evaluate how much you pay? It's based on what damage you caused. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka omer, demei mazik. It's based on how much the person himself who caused the, right, who owned the shore, who killed, how much he's worth. So the assumption right now of Rav Chisda is, my la v'hakam miflagei, derabbanan savrei kufra mamonahu, Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha savra kufra kapara. The first assumption of reading this braita, and that's how Rav Chisda understands it, is that Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, who says we go by the value of the person who did the damage, it's because we view damage, the kofar, as kapara. So it's going to go based on your own value. And that's what's going to match this opinion that we see in the braita, that the apitropos doesn't pay kofar because there's no need for kapara. But chachamim say, no, how do we evaluate this kofar? We evaluate it based on the damage you caused, which means that kofar is mamon, because we're evaluating how much damage you caused, and that's what you're supposed to pay. Okay, based on the person that you killed and not based on your own value. So now, right, this is obviously going to be different if different people are worth different values, right? How we evaluate a person, how much, you know, how much they can work, depending on their age, things like that. So now, the Gemara is going to reject that explanation, okay? And it's going to say, no, that's not their machloket. Lo, I'm a Rav Papa. Rav Papa comes and disagrees with the Chisda and says, no, you misunderstood their machloket. Dekule alma kufra kaparahu. It's a kofar. Kofar is clearly for kapara. Everybody agrees that the whole point of this kofar is for the person to be mechaper. In which case, the whole, right, Rav Chisda said it's only Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha, comes Rav Papa and says, no. Both of them, everybody will agree. In other words, this braita that Ein Mishalmim Kofar, the Apitropus, is a liba dekule alma. Everybody agrees that it's going to be the case, that it's always kapara. So why does one say Dmei Nizak and one says Dmei Mazik? V'hacha b'ha kamiflagei. Rabbanan savre b'din Nizak shayminan. Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha savar b'din Mazik shayminan. It's all a matter of how do we evaluate what's the value of the ransom you have to pay for your own repentance? Is it based on your own value or is it based on the value of the damage you caused? That's the machloket. You follow? Everybody holds it's not a mamon payment. Everyone holds it's a kapara payment. It's for your own repentance. It's just a matter of, do we evaluate your repentance based on the damage you caused or based on your value? That's how we evaluate. Now, what's their machloket based on? It's based on psukim. My time of the Rabbanan, ne'emra shita lemata, v'ne'emra shita lemala. Mala halam b'dinizak, avkam b'dinizak. Okay, there's another pasuk where it says yashit. Okay, the same shoresh of shita. In our pasuk it's yushat, and the other pasuk is yashit. In Shmo Perakap al pasuk kafbet, it's at the bottom of your page. A few psukim before our psukim. Ki yinatsu anashim, if two men are fighting, v'nagfu isha hara v'yatsu yiladeha v'lo yiyya ason. Right, this is where we learn about kimle. Remember, they kill the pregnant woman who gets involved, right? She goes to help her husband. They attack the pregnant woman and she loses the baby. Okay, her embryo, the fetus. V'lo yiyya ason. So if she doesn't die, then anoshi anish. Kasher yashita la bala isha v'natam b'flilim. Then he has to pay money. And what does he pay? Obviously the money, the value of the embryo is what he's going to pay. So if that's the case, right now, the kimle was learned from here because if, right, what's the reverse? If there will be an ason, then he doesn't pay because kimle, then he's chayav mavet. So what do you see here? That in this case, kasher yashit alav, what's the value of what he pays? The damage he caused. So therefore, in our pasuk, kasher yushat alav is also going to be based on the damage he caused, even though the nature of the payment is a kapara payment. Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha savar v'natam pidyon nafsho k'tiv. It says he pays a pidyon for his nefesh. Therefore, obviously, it's going to be the value of his nefesh. V'rabbanan, what are you going to do with that? It does. It says pidyon nafsho. How can you argue with that? So what will they say? Ein pidyon nafsho, in pidyon nafsho k'tiv. You're right, it says pidyon nafsho. It's true he pays his own nefesh. But miu ki shayminan, b'dinizak shayminan. But how do we evaluate how you pay your pidyon nefesh? We evaluate it based on the damage that you caused. Okay, so you follow. So in the end, they think that this machloket has to do with this kofar kapara or is it mamon. In the end, they say, no. Everyone agrees it's kapara. It's just a matter of how you evaluate what your value of kapara is going to be. Okay. Now we're going to have a strange side thing. Mishpach le-Rav le-Rav Nachman v'de-Rav Acha bar Yaakov, da-Adam gadolu. Rava was praising Rav Acha bar Yaakov to Rav Nachman. He was saying, this guy is a real brilliant guy. Okay? So Amar Le, Rav Nachman says, L'cheshi yavo liyadcha habi'u liyadi. I want to meet this guy. So when you see him, send him to me. Ki ata legabe. So he came to Rav, and Rav sent him to Rav Nachman. So he shows up in front of Rav Nachman. Amar Le, by the way, we've seen a very similar story to this in another place. Yes. It's a different one now, but it's the same basic gist and the same basic conclusion of the story. Amar Le, by me name Milta. He says, ask me a question, right? Rav Nachman says to the really smart guy, ask me a question. Throw me any question, right? Question what you come out of this. I think it's arrogance, basically, and he's going to be put in his place, okay? He says, you're a really smart guy? Great. Give me your best question. Okay. Ba'amine, he asks him like this. Shur shal shnei shutafim ketzah mishalmim kofir. Mishalem hai kofir. Bahai kofir? High kofir, right? Sorry, mishalem high kofir, but high kofir, right? How does he, if one ox belongs to two people, how do they pay kofir? Does one pay kofir and the other pays kofir? Now, what's going to happen in the end? You'll have two double payments, right? And kofir achad amar rachmana velo shnei kofirim, right? In other words, if each one needs to do repentance, right? Well, then they each need to pay fully, but then the owner's going to get double. That's weird, right? Why should he get double pay? And the Torah says there's one kofir, not two. Hai chatzi kofir, v'hai chatzi kofir. But if you say each pays half the value, well, then that doesn't work either. If you need kapara, you're not going to get kapara from doing half. Right? You only paid half the amount. That's not enough to repent. Kofir shalem amar rachmana v'lo chatzi kofir. Right? You're supposed to pay a kofir payment, not a half payment. So there's no meaning to a half payment. Okay, anyway, what's going to obviously happen here? He stumps Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman doesn't know the answer. Adiyate v'kama ayim ba. So Rav Nachman was sitting there thinking. And in the meanwhile, Amar Le, while he's thinking, this rabbi, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, throws at him another question. Amar Le, Tnan, here's another question for you to think about. Chai ve'erchin mimashkinin otan. Chai ve'chata'ot v'ashamot, ei mimashkinin otan. If somebody says they're going to bring their value to the Beit HaMikdash, so if they don't bring it, we basically go into their property, take the amount, and give it to them to the Beit HaMikdash. We can like take a mashkom from him, a collateral, in place of his payment because he didn't pay. But if you're supposed to bring a korban chatat or korban asham, then we're not memashkenim otan, okay? We don't go into your property and grab the money for the korban if you don't do it yourself, okay? Why not? Because the chatat and the asham, you need kapara for them, okay?
If you don't bring them.
If you don't bring them, then you're not going to get kapara. So what do we assume? We assume that you're going to definitely make sure to bring them. Because if you don't, you're not going to get kapara. And we know that you want kapara. But when it comes to erchin, there's no kapara element to erchin. Erchin is just a nedava. I want to bring something. I'm saying I'm going to bring it. So if you don't bring it, so you don't, there's no kapara involved. So therefore, we're worried that you're not going to actually fulfill your vow. And therefore, we come and we take it from you because you have to do what you said you're going to do. So, what about Chayvei Kofrin Mai? Kevan de Kaparahu, since it's Kapara, do we assume it's like Kechatat Basham? So if you don't pay it, we don't come into your property and pay it because we assume you're definitely going to do it. And is it like Kechatat Basham Dame? And therefore, Mechamer Chamer Ilabe, he's going to look at this as a very serious matter because he knows he needs this repentance. Velo Bai Mashkune, and therefore we don't have to come and be Mimashkin. O Dilma, Kevan de la Chavrehu de Bai Mitvale, Mamonahu, Velo la Gavoahu, Velo Chamir Ale, Ubai Mashkune, or do we say, since he's not the Kaparav Chatat or an Hashem, where does it go? It goes la Gavoah to a Korban. That's why you're going to treat it seriously. But in this case, the kapara goes to the guy you damaged, to your part, you know, your counterpart, your chaver, your contemporary. That's the word I'm looking for. And therefore, you're going to say, well, you know what? It doesn't go l'gavoa. Maybe I won't take it so seriously. So therefore, even though it's the kapara, right, only when you have kapara combined with gavoha do we say that we know you're going to take it seriously. But when it comes to this, maybe you won't take it so seriously. So there's another good question for you, Rav Nachman. Okay, or inami. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say right? Inami kevan dehu lo chata. Right, or do we say? Sorry, I didn't get to the second part yet. Or do we say dehu lo chata umamone hu daazik Lo chamri milte ilave. Right. Oh, sorry. Or they say it like this. Since he was not chote, and it's, right, another way you could say it is, okay, here's a second possibility within this possibility. Since he didn't actually do anything for him by himself, his mamon did it. In other words, here's another reason. Maybe you would say if you had done an avera and you need kapara, even if it's not legavoa, also we can assume you're going to do it. But in this case, what happened? You didn't do an avera biyadayim. Your mamon did it. So also, maybe you'll view that kapara in a different light as if you had actually done something yourself. And therefore, lo chamer mal dilavei ubayim mashkene. So what's Rav Nachman answer him? Amarle shavkan, istigar b'kamaita. Leave me alone. I'm still focusing on your first question, okay? What do you bother, you know? I need to focus on the first thing you asked me. Okay, so...
But they never answer either of them.
He never comes up with an answer. He obviously stumped him, okay? So number one, you see about arrogance and, you know, where it takes you. Here he was like, oh, I want to see this really brilliant guy and he can question me and I'm going to answer him up and I'll be proven even smarter. But also, if you look at the other guy... You also should be careful. I think we talked about this last time about what questions you ask rabbis. You have to be careful not to try to stump them because it's also embarrassing for them. You know, don't, especially if you've already asked a question and you've stumped him, don't keep going. Right, pile on. Anyway, an interesting story. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Here we're going to have, okay, until now we talked about changing ownership when it was yours, it went, right, you weren't yet ready for it, it became yours, or you give your shore to somebody else. But what if you borrow someone's shore? Now, how are we going to treat changing of ownership between the shoel, the borrower, and the owner itself? So we're going to see a bunch of different cases here. Sha'alo b'cheskat tam. You borrowed it thinking the shore was a shore tam. V'nimtza mu'ad. But it turns out it was a mu'ad. Now, you borrow this animal, and for whatever reason, whether the owner told you or I don't know who told you, but you thought it was only a shore tam. You didn't realize it was a shore mu'ad. So you didn't watch him, assuming he was a shore mu'ad. So we can't make you responsible for paying for shor muad. However, the animal itself is a shor muad. So what happens? Ba'alim mishalmim chatzi nezek, b'shoel mishalem chatzi nezek. Okay, they have to share the payment because the shoel can't pay more than chatzi nezek, but the owner of the damaged shor should get his full damages because the shor was muad. So the ba'alim have to pay the other half. Okay, we'll get into details about this and who could claim what and all sorts of things. We're going to see that now, okay, very soon. The second part of that bright is the second case, which we'll deal with later. Hu ad v'beit shoel. Let's say while it was in the hands of the shoel, it became a shor muad. Okay, so while it was a tam, while he got it, it was a tam, or, you know, nothing. And then in the beit shoel, it gore three times. V'hichziro leba'alim. Okay, then he returns it to the ba'alim. V'alim mishamim chatzi nezek v'shoel patur miklum. Okay, now when he goes and gores, once he goes back to the original owner, so he's considered from the beginning, it's only like a shor tam. He doesn't keep being a shor muad. And obviously at this point, what happened with the shoel is irrelevant to the shoel because the shoel doesn't have responsibility for him anymore. So he doesn't have to pay anything. And the ba'alim pay chatzi nezek. Okay, so now we're going to go into each case. So first, the first one. Amar mar. Shalu b'ches katam v'nimtza muad. Ba'alim mishamim chatzi nezek v'shoel chatzi nezek. V'amai. Why is this? Lemale, why doesn't the shoel say, Tora she'ile, Aryeh lo she'ile? Why do I have to pay it all? I borrowed an ox. I didn't borrow an Aryeh. I didn't expect your animal to be damaging anybody. I borrowed something I thought was just not going to do anything. I shouldn't have to pay it all. It's your animal. He damaged your responsibility. So Amarav, hacha b'mayaskinan, she'ikir bo shehu nagchan. Rav says it must be a case where he knew he was a nagchan. He just didn't know that he had done it three times already. Okay, and therefore, knowing he was in a khan, he knew he had to somewhat protect it, and he didn't. V'neim alei tam she'ili mu'ad lo she'ili. Why doesn't he say to him, look, I borrowed a tam, not a mu'ad, and I assumed you were going to pay for the damages for it. I didn't accept responsibility for damages. So what does he say? Mishum da'amale sof sof itam hava palganiske bayit shlume. The owner could say, look, if you thought he was a tam, so you know you'd have to pay chatzi nezek. So hashanam is yoshlim pal ganizka. In other words, so what if you thought it was a tam? You still would have to pay chatzi nezek for it. So pay chatzi nezek. So v'nemalei. So he could say to him, no, because itam hava mishdalei migufo. He could say, yeah, but if he's a tam, I pay with the animal itself. I don't have to pay with my own money. I just have to pay with the animal, and the animal belongs to you. So I'll just give him the animal, and I don't owe you anything. So what does he say? Mishum da'amrale. No, but the owner could say, sof sof, at lav Torah bayit shlume ledidi. In other words, it's true, if you had to pay the shor, you could just give him the shor, but then you'd have to replace my shor. You borrowed my shor. He damaged under your shmirah. So you would have to pay me a new shor. So while it's true that it's mishtalei migufo, it doesn't matter. You'd still have to replace my shor for me. So that's not a good excuse. V'neima, so you could keep saying, im tam hava modino miftarina. But if it was a tam, now here you'd have to say that chatzi nezek is a knas. So if I knew it was a tam, what would I have done? And if it's a tam, I could just be mode before they come and convict me. I'll be mode and I'll be putter, because mode b'knas is putter. So had I known that you weren't going to accept responsibility, I would have just done this. So I shouldn't have to pay. Vafilu lamanda amar palganizka mamona. And even if you say the chatzi nezek is mamona, not knas, he could say something else. Neimali itam hava, hava ma'arikna leila agma. I could have sent it away to an agam and gotten it to be there. And then when they come to be over the shore, I could say, hey, I don't know where the shore is. Because remember, it's only mishtalei migufo. If the shore is not there anymore, you don't have to pay. So he's saying, had I known I would have been responsible, I would have gotten out of responsibility in some other way. Therefore, the responsibility should fall on you. Okay, he's trying to say all sorts of loopholes he could have used to get out of paying. So now we're going to go into this whole thing about I could have hidden it in the agam. Okay. Oh no, not yet. One second. Right. So now we're going to get into it. Okay. So now elahacha b'mayas kinan. Okay. Now all the other answers are going to be within this. Kigon de'atim beidina v'tafse. It's a case where he didn't even have enough time to do that, and the Beit Din already came and were toe-faced the shore, and therefore he couldn't even claim I would have sent it to an agam and it wouldn't have been here when they came to get it. So, ihachi, ba'alim, if you're going to say that, then there's a problem with this answer. Because ihachi, ba'alim, amai mishtamim chatzi nezek. So then the ba'alim, if the Beit Din came and was toe-faced the animal and said, we're taking this, right? Remember, he's paying the part of the shor tam, right? In other words, what, I want to remind you what we're up to here. We have a case where the animal was a mu'ad, but the original guy didn't know it was a mu'ad, right? He thought it was a tam. So now he has to pay half, and the other guy has to pay half. So he says, I don't want to pay my half because I could have just gotten out of my half. It was a tam, right? It's not a tam, it's a mu'ad. So he doesn't have to pay migufo, and he doesn't have to do any of these things. But he claims, I thought it was a tam. So if I thought it was a tam, and that's what I was doing, so I could have done all these things to avoid paying. So now he says, and as if I thought that you weren't going to pay the whole, you know, for all of it. So now he says, but it was a case where they grabbed the shore and he had no choice. But he would have had to pay in any case, his half nezek. So now, if they came and grabbed it, well then the ba'alim, right, they have the actual owners who have to pay the other half can come say, hey listen, he could say, ba'alim amayim shlamim chatzi nezek, neim alei, they could say back to the shoel, at pesei l'torah b'yada, he could say, it's all your fault that they grabbed the shore. You shouldn't have let the Beit Din come. Now that you came, I got to deal with the Beit Din. But you irresponsible shoel, you know, again, this is all like how they could have gotten out of the law. Now you put me in a situation where I got to deal with the Beit Din. But had you not done that, then I wouldn't have had to deal with them. So he says, what do you mean? Yishum da'amarle, ihadrati nialach. If I had given it back to you, in other words, if it was in your possession at the time, lav minach havashaklile, they would have taken it from you. So in other words, don't blame me. The Beit Din came and grabbed it from me, but they could have easily, if it had been yours, they would have grabbed it from you. So v'nei malei, so then he could say to him still, the ba'alim, no, ihadrate nialei, and this is all who's responsible, right? Everyone's trying, this is like your typical in Israel, this happens all the time, right? The internet's not working, and you go to Bezek, you know, and they say, oh, it's Efes Chachdaim, and Efes Chachdaim says, no, it's Bezek, you know, and everyone kind of says, oh, it's your fault, you know, and then you have no one to deal with. So he's saying, look, if you have returned it to me, I would have dealt with it much better. What would I have done? Haba marikna leil agma. I would have gotten it into, right, I would have quickly hidden it into the swamp, and then no one, you know, and then they wouldn't have come get taken it from me.
Swamp full of bulls.
Mishum da'amar le, sof sof. But then you could say to him, no, but
gotcha.
You can't say I would have sent it to the Agam because it was a Shor Muad, remember? So what's the relevance of sending it to an Agam? Amar le, sof sof, lav me aliyah ha mishtalme, they would have made you pay from your money. In other words, when it's a Shor Muad, you have to pay from your money anyway. Sending it to the Agam wouldn't have helped. So now they say, well, that's only if he's got other money to take from. Hani chahechadi le nichse. But what if he has no other property? What if that shor was the only thing he had? So if he sends the shor to the agam and he's got no other money, well then, also he wouldn't have to pay. So mishum da amrale ki hecha de mishtabna leditcha hachinami mishtabna leheach mid Rabbi Natan. Titania Rabbi Natan omer minayin lenoshe b'chaveiro mane b'chaveiro b'chaveiro minayin shemotziim mizeh v'notnim lezeh tamalom Rabbi Natan la'asher hasham lo. Okay, so let's go backwards. Rabbi Natan, we've seen this a bunch of times. How do we know that if someone owes money to someone and that person owes money to someone else, that the guy who's looking for the money can go to the other one, right? In other words, A owes money to B and B owes money to C. C can take from A. Okay? We know that because it says, V'natan la'asher ha'shamlo. Okay? And he learns from that pasuk that you can C can take it from A. So now he's saying that it was all my, your shore was mushuabad already to the Beitin, whether it was in your property or my property. The Beitin could come take it from me or they can come take it from you. It doesn't matter. So all your claim doesn't really work. So that's the end of that discussion. Okay, this was all possible claims they could say. In the end, nobody has a good claim and each one has to pay the chatzi nezek. Second case now. Hu'ad b'beit ha'shol, if he turns into a mu'ad in the beit ha'shol, v'chziro la'ba'alim, and then he returns it to the ba'alim, v'ba'alim mishalim chatzi nezek, v'shol pator miklum. So now what do you see here? There's a problem between the resha and the seifa. Why? Seifa implies that what? Rishut mishaneh, right? That by changing rishut, it changes the status of the animal. But resha implies that rishut eina mishaneh, because what happened? He had it as a short time. It turns out it was a mu'ad, right? And then what do we see? He's judged as a mu'ad even though it was given to a shoel. You would have thought it starts, the clock starts ticking again and he becomes a short time when he goes into the rishut of the shoel. So you see the rishut is eina mishaneh. So now we're going to have three possible answers. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tavra, Misha Shanazo, Lo Shanazo. You could say, each line is said by a different opinion about this. Okay? And they don't work together. We've seen this before. Rabba Amar, midereisha reshut eina mishaneh, seifanami reshut eina mishaneh. So Rabba now is going to explain both according to the logic that reshut doesn't change anything. So how can you say that? So seifa, why is he chayav then? If reshut is eina mishaneh, then in the seifa, he should be a shor muad, but instead he's only pays chatzi nezek. So what's the reason he pays chatzi nezek? Hainu tama mishum da amarle lav kol kaminach demiyai lelach letorai. He says to him, now this is a difference between a shoel and a regular person switching rishuyot. He says, the fact that he was in your rishut and he was muad doesn't mean that in my rishut he'll be mu'ad. In other words, for you he was mu'ad because you didn't know him and you didn't know how to handle him, right? Take a dog. Your dog goes to someone's house, he's going to misbehave, right? Because he doesn't know the other people. But he wasn't, in other words, or 1 second, I think. Right, what he's saying is, you caused my shor to be a mu'ad. It's not my responsibility, basically. Okay? And you weren't careful with it, but in terms of me, he's not a shor mu'ad. It was your fault. You didn't handle it properly, and probably he didn't know how to deal with you, so he was a nagchan. But as soon as he comes back to me, I'm the original owner, it should go back to being a tam. Rav Papa Amar, he explains it the opposite. Mi deseifa reshut mishaneh. We see here that it goes back to being a tam, because reshut changes. So resha nami reshut mishaneh. Reisha also, the reshut should be mishaneh. So reisha hainu tam, and now we have to explain why then you're chayav kol nezek. Mishum dekol makom sholech shem ba'alav alav. It's the same logic as the other, which is the owner is the basis. So they're the owner, he was a mu'ad already with the owner. So he doesn't go back to being a tam when he switches to the shoel. Okay? He was already a mu'ad, and wherever he goes, he's his owner's animal, whether someone's borrowing it or not. So therefore, if he was a mu'ab with his owner, he's a mu'ab with the with the Shoel. Just the Shoel didn't know it, so we can't make the Shoel pay full damages, so they're going to split the damages. But when it start, when it, he becomes a Muad in the Shoel's house, when he goes back to his owner, he's going to be considered a Tam. And that's it's, the two answers here are really the same logic, because it means that the owner knows how to handle his animal. And if he doesn't, well, then it's going to go with him. The Shoel really doesn't become any part of an owner. That's really what they're saying. It's not like a Shinui Rishut when it goes to a Shoel. Okay, we'll stop here for today. Tomorrow we get to deal with, can you use him on a Mizbeach or not? This is interesting. If he belongs to the Cheresh Otar Katan, and he didn't really do anything wrong, so then does he olal on his bath or not? So, the Mizbeach is about, the Mizbeach is about the Shor Eitz Tadyum. When you have this Shor, the bullfighting Shor that came up in the Mishnah, where it's not his fault that he's an Agchan, since it's not his fault, can he be olal on his bath or not? That's going to be how the Gemara is going to start the next question.